Tell me, when was the last time that you were hungry? Not just in between meals hungry, but real hunger pangs hungry. Have you ever felt that way? It has been an incredibly rare feeling for me, coming only when I have made the conscious choice not to eat for an extended period of time, and always for the purpose of raising awareness and or funds for a cause centered on the issue of hunger. In high school, it was the 30-hour famine, an event sponsored by World Vision, a Christian nonprofit working to end hunger in the world. For the 30-hour famine, participants asked friends and family to donate to World Vision as they pledged to go without food for, you guessed it, 30 hours, to experience a bit of what it is like to be truly hungry. In college, it was part of the Oxfam fast. For one day, college students were encouraged not to eat in the dining hall, and instead, the college pledged to send the money that was saved to Oxfam, an international organization also committed to ending global hunger and poverty. I remember the 1 year of the Oxfam fast very well. It was my freshman year, and I was participating in the fast for the very first time. Of course, many students signed up for the fast but did not really skip any meals. They simply ate off of campus and had the college donate the money. Even though I knew this was an option, I felt it was important to engage in the whole experience, and so I didn't eat any meals that day. Of course, it happened to be one of the busiest days of the week for me, a full class schedule, plus college choir and church choir practices, so that by the time the church choir ended that evening, I was not feeling well at all, weak and lightheaded. And so my friend Heidi, who had also been participating in the fast and had also had a full day, and I decided to throw in the towel and get something to eat. The problem is that it was 9 o'clock at night and our options were pretty limited. That is how we ended up at Taco Bell. And let me tell you, Taco Bell is no place to end a day-long fast. Suffice it to say, growing up in the 20th and 21st century America in a middle-class family, I have never really known hunger. Never wondered if my next meal would come. And I would venture to say that the same is likely true for most, perhaps not all, but most of us gathered here today. That, however, was not necessarily true for the people who had followed Jesus all the way to Capernaum. They knew hunger. Living as peasant minorities in the shadow of the Roman Empire, many, if not all, of those gathered on the lakeshore that day knew hunger, and they knew it well. In fact, just a few verses earlier, John writes of how Jesus fed the crowds with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, perhaps his most well-known miracle. And afterward, John tells us, the people tried to take him away by force to make him king. You see, these were people who knew hunger and who knew it well. And so when a rabbi, a prophet, a miracle worker, managed to feed so many of them with little more than what would have fed one family, well, they knew he was something special. And they wanted, indeed, they needed more from him. So much so that when he managed to escape and travel to the other side of the lake, they too loaded onto boats and followed him. By this time, they were getting hungry once more, and they knew now that he could provide. When they made landfall and found him once more, he had harsh words for them. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Once again, Jesus was turning the world on its head. The crowds had come seeking food, real bread, real fish, real sustenance. But Jesus knew what they really needed. Food for their bodies, yes, but even more so, food for their souls. "It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus was looking past their current situation, traveling from place to place with little opportunity and even less means to procure adequate food and water. And he was even looking beyond their history. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven." For there was not only hunger in their stomachs, there was hunger in their memory as well. But Jesus could sense an even deeper and more meaningful hunger that day, one that came from the depths of their hearts, not their stomachs, from the Garden of Eden, not the wilderness beyond the Jordan. It was a hunger that could not be sated by the multiplication of loaves and fish, or by manna from heaven, or by a king forced into a throne. No, the only thing that could satisfy was the bread of life. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." And this is where he lost so many of them. For they had come seeking that which they could hold, consume, and control. And what he was offering was something they could simply not understand or even accept. Jesus was not offering bread from an oven or water from a well. He was offering nothing short of himself, but they could not accept it. A few verses later, John writes, "When many of his disciples heard it, they said, 'This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?' And because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him." Some 2,000 years later, we too stand on the shore, and we are hungry. Perhaps not in body, but most certainly in spirit. And the table is set before us. And once again we hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life." But what does it mean? Still, we struggle with that question. What does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life? Later on in chapter 6, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." As we gather at this table, as we eat the bread and we drink the cup, the body and the blood of Christ, what does it mean? "I am the bread of life," he says. It means that more than anywhere else, more than at any other time, this is where life, eternal life, begins and ends. At the table prepared by our Lord and Savior. Gathered here with brothers and sisters in Christ, here is where our real hunger is satisfied, where the pangs of our souls find relief, even if we do not fully understand. Because here is where we sense and enjoy the presence of Christ, the one who does not simply provide the bread of life, but the one who is, in his very nature, the bread of life. Our stomachs will still hunger. Indeed, so too will our souls. But in Christ we find satisfaction for that hunger. In his teachings, in his healing touch, in his words of comfort and in his words of challenge, in his death and in his resurrection, and in his eternal life. Not simply in what he can and does provide, but in all of who he is. In those characteristics we love and cherish, and in those which confuse, confound, and even frustrate us. The bread of life does not simply sustain us for a short time. He sustains us for all time. When I was younger, before the days of bread makers for your home kitchen, every now and then my dad would make fresh bread from the oven. It was a sight to behold, delicious bread made from nothing but flour, eggs, yeast, and the like. Dad didn't cook much, so it was quite the treat. To this day, I can remember the smell that would waft through the house as the bread baked, and then the taste of a slice still warm with melted butter or Aunt Bonnie's apple butter on top. It was the definition of delicious. So when I hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life," I think of that moment, and I imagine it multiplied 1,000 times over, the satisfaction, the warmth, and the joy. And I think that begins to get at what Jesus meant, even if just barely. "I am the bread of life," he said. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come, eat the bread, and never be hungry again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen."